The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, and our guest today is from St. Michael's Parish in Independence, where he's been since about 2018, I believe, in the beginning of 19. Father John Malie. Father, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about St. Michael's and how you're enjoying it. You've been there a couple of years now.
Yeah, I've been ordained 9 years last May. It's been a unique, different mix of parishes. I was there, Our Lady Help of Christians, first assignment, covered all these rural parishes. Kind of fun. I had a four-wheeler out in Litchfield Township.
Wow.
So I had a four-wheeler and got into farming and made some good friends there because we covered four worship sites down in there in Medina, Wayne Ashland, Medina area. So, and then St. Rita's for a couple of years in Solon. And St. Michael's been nice. I have cousins, one of the Day families. They're my first cousins. And it's easy access, as you know. We're Independence is middle to get to a lot of different things. So it's really nice.
Middle of everything. Yeah.
Right.
What a difference from a rural parish.
Yes.
Parish is.
Right.
How much of an adjustment is that?
You got to just work on your different skill set because I've never been a pastor, for one thing,
okay.
And then to compound it with the challenges of a school. And we're doing some preliminary planning to do a lot of different things with the campus. So we hired some architects. So the adjustment is just I got to be on my game and collaborate with a lot of different great people and families on moving forward, on improving the campus and our ministries and the whole basket.
Top to bottom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, and the other part of that is that these buildings don't construct themselves. It takes a fundraising effort, and you got to get a buy-in from people.
Well, right. Yeah, that would be down the road. Once we start planning things, we'll have to do some kind of capital campaign. Exactly, yeah.
Sure. Well, let's backtrack a little bit. Tell me about you. Where did you grow up?
Right. I was born in Mansfield, and my dad's from University Heights area. He went to Jesu, Ignatius, and John Carroll. Through job transfers, he was a trucking manager for Yellow Freight. We were in Mansfield for a little bit. Then he moved back to Cleveland, was in Cleveland Heights, and then transferred to Lima to run a terminal there in Lima. So I did most of my elementary and high school in Lima. Went to Miami University in Ohio, got a business degree.
And after that, not right to the seminary.
And then I was in ROTC, so I went into the Air Force. I was in the Air Force about 6.5 years. I started out as a missile launch officer at an ICBM base in Whiteman in Missouri.
Right.
And then I moved into the TAC side a couple years at command post in Valdosta in Moody Air Force Base, where they had F-4s and the F-16s. So I worked at command post a couple years at a fire base.
Your calling, was it always kind of in the back of your head, or did something happen?
You get that whole foundation of the parents that – were that example, that witness to living out the gospel that always in the back of my mind. I was very unsettled after I got an MBA when I was through the University of Missouri when I was in the Air Force. So after the Air Force, I got into different positions like printing, sales, and then customer service facility in New Jersey. And then I went into car rental management. Then I went into management consulting. So I was living New Jersey, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, bounced around a lot, quite unsettled. But the day we're taping this, as you know, it's the memorial of Saint Jean, and I heard his name pronounced as on my way here, Vianney. So there's different ways to pronounce it. It was the mass they were celebrating wherever on the rock.
Okay.
But so as Feast, I was reading a little bit about him, of course, and how his parents, how they embody the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It's kind of what one of the things that brought him, the Holy Spirit brought him to the priesthood. So those things about my parents working, my mom's a nurse, my dad working many hours, but still found the time. I'm the oldest of six. They made sure we were always together to celebrate Mass every week. But then they certainly found the time at night to work the food pantries, to be there for a friend who was just diagnosed with cancer. I know my mom, I remember she was helping someone at a grocery store who had just come from Vietnam and had no clue. Mm-hmm. So those type of witness things that in your life from your parents, that was the seed.
I hear that so often in doing, I don't know how many shows we've done, maybe 40 shows or so. And I hear it so often that the example, there are very few of these St. Paul moments, getting blown off the horse and going to the seminary. It's just that example. It sure sounds that was the case with you.
Right, yeah. My dad's a good friend. They were stationed together in the Air Force, who was actually a convert to the faith. He ended up becoming a Monsignor in the Peoria Diocese.
Oh.
Monsignor Ernie Pizzamiglio. And my dad always kept in touch with him. He would visit us wherever we were, Lima, Cleveland, and he was another witness. When I didn't know what it was, like the Liturgy of the Hours, I would ask my dad, what's Father Ernie doing downstairs? Well, he's praying before he comes up. Mm-hmm. And he was on vacation. I said, so there's another witness. And he actually came in and vested me at the cathedral for my ordination.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
He flew in from Illinois. My dad and I visited him frequently when I was ordained. We tried to get out there at least once a summer to visit him. And he was in Galesburg, Illinois before he retired.
So a lot of examples.
Yes, yes, yeah.
I hear another thing I've heard often in speaking to priests particularly is that before the seminary there was kind of this lot of different jobs or just kind of an unsettled feeling. And then, yeah, I think I might be able to do this, that sort of thing. Does that sum your experience up?
Yeah, I think you look at the different things you used to really like get into, sports and admiring multi-billion-dollar CEOs, et cetera, and that just started to fade away the more I thought about where God wants me in my life, because I would gotten away from the church for all the wrong reasons. And I said, look at, again, my parents and their example. Let's get back to figure this whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, moved back to the Cleveland area. And what a blessing that Cleveland has a seminary, right?
So, perfect.
Right.
A nice one, too.
Right. And then the friends that I bonded with at the seminary were, many of them were former careers, attorney, my friend Father Joe in Bedford, who's a chemist. Yeah, that bonding at the seminary through their examples of they left careers.
Well, stay right there, Father. We're going to continue to talk. I'm very interested in that transition from military to priesthood. That's a fascinating transition. When we come back on God Calling, stay with us. You're on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Back on God Calling, Father John Malie from St. Michael's in Independence, our guest today. Father, I know you've been down to El Salvador a couple times. Another example. You said your parents were examples. Other priests were examples. People you knew were examples. But the mission in El Salvador, I'll never forget clearly the murder of a couple of our members of our Cleveland team, Sister Kazel and another one, the name escapes me right now.
Yeah, Gene Donovan.
Yeah, Gene Donovan, right. To go down there and see that sort of work, how important is that in maybe cementing your vocation?
It was another one of those Holy Spirit moments, because there was a hallway dedicated to the mission team in the seminary.
Oh.
That's how I first got to know it and then started reading about it. And of course, we discussed it in some of our classes at the seminary. So to have that opportunity to go down and meet with some of the mission team in person, it's really life-changing. And you could talk to some of the parishes around our diocese that do that. And some of them, when the people come back, they say that we had no idea. So that whole thing about planting that seed got me into a lot of other different things. So I connected as well with Catholic Relief Services, again, through the partnership with the seminary, and got to learn their story. And thanks be to God, that partnership, because I traveled to Nicaragua and the Holy Land two different summers with Catholic Relief Services. So I became a global fellow. So the universal church is very much a part of a passion of mine And it comes out a lot, thankfully, in my preaching, in my homilies, in the teaching confirmation to the kids. So we've been really connected with the school since I got there with Catholic Services, and I tried to share as much as possible during Lent.
Sure.
Of their ministry, their missions in whatever it is now, over 92 countries, serving 150 million people. And that connection with El Salvador, I kept in touch with these priests that I first met down there. I just recently had lunch with Father Mark Riley, who's now at St. Michael on Scranton.
Okay.
First met him in El Salvador. Monsignor Rich Antel, first met him in El Salvador. So we try to get together, and he's a good friend now, and he's got that whole – a different ministry, but it's the same. Now he's a holy name on Broadway in the inner city, this very brilliant, passionate man, reaching out to a different sector of the poor in inner city Cleveland. He has that Absolute House, recovering addicts on his campus, reaching out to them. I connected with – my dad met Father Joe Pascura at an Ignatius reunion, so made that connection with him. Being a retired Army colonel chaplain, and we just had some great conversations. I went out to the airport a couple times when he had a Cleveland Honor Flight, and he asked me to say some prayers for the group before they went to Washington, D.C. And if anyone's not familiar with Cleveland Honor Flight, please look it up and learn about their ministry. It's awesome. And so I got to say prayers, and then I actually got to go on an honor flight one day. So, and my dad, as a veteran, my uncle, we went with them for a day at Washington, D.C.
Take the time. Explain what that is, because I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so it's honor flights are all around the country. And to honor veterans, you take men and women to Washington, D.C. for the day. They don't pay anything. They go to all the monuments, the memorials around Washington. It's what's so incredible. It'll get you chills, because when the veterans were taking them through the airport and people clapping and coming up to them, when we returned that day from Cleveland, we got in real late. It was like 11 o'clock at night. There was a bagpiper waiting for us. Okay. There were very few people at the airport. And it was just such a tribute to these men and women. It was their day. And so they've been working on World War II veterans. There's not a lot of them left. So Korean War veterans are now going, and eventually, you know, Vietnam, that type of thing. So Honor Flight's a great – I don't remember where it started, but it's around the country, the Honor Flight, yeah.
Yeah, the World War II guys. My dad was a World War II guy.
Oh, sure.
And they're a very humble group.
Right.
Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest
Generation. Right, right.
But there was never a World War II memorial. He just assumed it was Iwo Jima.
Oh, sure,
And they're just very unassuming people. So it's nice to see, albeit late, them getting even more.
Right. And I've shared this story in church. Father Joe Pascura, when I picked him up once for lunch, he loved Claudettes in Westlake.
Uh-huh.
And we walked by this wall. He wanted to show me something. He walked by this wall of all these plaques and medals that in his name, but he was most proud of. There was a picture of him celebrating Mass, the Eucharist, in Vietnam.
Wow.
I know. It just blew me away. And then sadly, Father Pascura passed away.
Not long
ago. COVID, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not here to pat us or Catholics in general on the back, but you know, you mentioned 150 countries. I think some of that gets lost on people. I think they think it's a church and you go on Sunday. There's so much going on, and I have a little bit of experience with Catholic Charities, and it's numbing to see the good works that are done.
And that's the great part of the seminary experience with the field education. So you go into hospital ministry, you go to see what's going on at St. Malachy's, because that was part of my dad's passion when he retired. He was driving from Avon Lake every Friday morning, going to daily Mass at St. Malachy's on Friday, and then he would stay and help distribute clothes to people in need. Another witness right there.
That's a busy, busy place.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of need, too.
Right,
as well.
Sure, yeah.
Stay right there. We're going to be back. Talk some more. And I talked about the difference between the Army and the priesthood. I never got to it, so we'll do that when we come back. I'm God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back from St. Michael's and Independence. Father John Malia is here. Father, neglected it in the last segment. Tell me the differences. I mean, the Army is very regimented, and the priesthood in some ways is, but in other ways, you got to lead, and so you're setting the agenda, I suppose.
Right. Well, the two pastors ago, he was a retired chaplain, Carl DiAgostino. I've kept in touch with some of my Air Force brothers from missiles, and had a very profound experience. You talk about being a missileer, It never really came up much, faith discussions. I look at now, look back at that, and found out that some of the men really had a deep belief in God. And because, and I, the reason I know that is I just recently went down in May. A friend of mine who died from cancer, he was a retired colonel, Colonel Tracy Hardwick. So I got together with some of the men that I hadn't seen in over 20 years. When they got up and talked about Tracy and some of the people around that area, we were at the Jacksonville National Cemetery where he was buried. And some of the men that got up and talked about just his Christian heart. And I never, it's not something that really stood out to me. I knew he was always so joyful and always respectful of people. But then Christ came out, came through that, those reflections that I heard about him. And man, I said, yeah, there were a lot of people like that in the service that I didn't see it then.
Do you think that there's a hesitancy to maybe that you're showing weakness or something like that?
That comes out. You know, hey, big time military, you know, we have the hands on the keys and we could, you know.
Pounding your chest.
And then sure, that comes up. And then you look at, certainly there's a certain percentage of people that don't know anything about the military chaplaincy it has brought to our country and how we currently have Chaplain Brancatelli's and Archbishop Broleo's in charge of entire, and Bishop Neil Buchan. I try to golf with him every time he comes home on leave. So I've made a connection with him as well. And so that bringing Christ to some of the darkest places of humanity.
I read some of your homilies and listened to a couple. And you talk about the church and Christ being good news, not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of warnings. Explain that to our listeners.
When you look at some of the New Testament and just that how it brings out the really the Beatitudes, what our faith is about, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger, and how as a church we have to put aside a lot of our fears, anxieties, our egos, our indifference, a lot of that stuff that we have to put aside, that whole thing about 100% trust, especially what we've been going through our country this past over a year, to put that trust in our faith in God, in the community, and just come together. It's something that everyone from Dr. Scott Hahn to Bishop Barron reflect on. I read a lot of their things. And if you look at the story of Scott Hahn and Kimberly converts, their son Jeremiah was just ordained in May for the Diocese of Steubenville.
Mm-hmm.
His family
Wonderful.
Who were converts, and how they are so integrated now into the faith and just able to proclaim that joy of the gospel. There's too many sometimes, as you know, Paul, people that want to label conservative, Catholic, liberal, that type of thing. No, you can't do that. As a universal church, you just can't do that. You have to center on what the truth is. And we don't do that enough, but that's part of why we're human and we fall down a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right?
You mentioned, and we talked about it before, but back to your vocation story. You mentioned kind of just having this uneasiness with this job or that job, that maybe there was something more. So when you entered the seminary, was that like almost like a St. Paul moment? Was it the lightning was like, yeah, I'm in the right place? Or does it take a while?
It was a very powerful journey because I had to really persevere into getting back into academia. And so it helped that I could just walk down the hall to the chapel when things were going rough. Because if you think about, I had to take a whole year of philosophy. And it's like, what? So one semester I'm taking the intro to philosophy and metaphysics in the same semester. It's like, what?
Right?
So yeah, so you needed that connection to, oh great, the chapel I know is right down the hall.
Help me.
I need help.
Help.
Right.
I think sometimes that's also lost is the rigors of the seminary.
Oh, yeah. Sure, it can be. Yeah, right.
It's a long journey.
Right, it is, yeah.
Now, did you have college before that? So did you go to Carroll or did you?
Well, because I had an undergrad from Miami, of Ohio,
right.
And then I had an MBA through the University of Missouri. So I just had that. But I had to take all the religion, of course, and philosophy, all those preliminary courses like that.
I've read a bunch of studies, kind of what Catholics believe and don't believe. And some of the numbers are striking. As far as contraception or even the ability to just remarry without an annulment, those sorts of things.
Right.
Where did the message get lost, do you think? No, we don't believe that.
Oh, boy, I think that's a question that up and down the centuries has been, it's nothing new that the Catholic Church has faced. We just have to keep, use that term, persevere and trust that God's walking with us on this journey to continue to proclaim what the truth is about our humanity, our human identity, that we are created in his likeness and image. You know, we have an uphill battle with the secularism.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've got a school now. The kids today, you think they're better formed? Because you mentioned falling away for a while. I think that's probably happened to almost everybody. Not everybody, certainly, but almost everybody. And you think the kids are ready to go and maybe through college they won't fall away?
Well, you do your best, and you hope that the parents are on board with their Catholic identity. It's like recently I read Little Churches. I think it was I was showing a couple Bishop Barron reflection on the sacrament of marriage. You know, homes are should be little churches.
You know, that takes us kind of full circle to right where you began of your example.
Right, right, yeah.
And we're out of time, too, so it worked out perfectly.
That's right.
Father, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it. This is God Calling. We're here every week. We hope you'll join us every week. And then online later, usually about the next Monday or so, and all of our old shows are there. And if you want to catch up to us, do so. This is Paul Orlowski. Have a great week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.